Welcome to another inspirational message from the traditional service at Bethany Assembly of God in Agawam, Massachusetts. It's our prayer that this message from Pastor Richard Adams will encourage and bless you.
I have no idea what the total amount that this church has ever given in its history for missions, but I know I guesstimate in the last 14 years we've given over $9 million to the missions. When you think about a church doing that, you think about what God thinks about that. I mean, $9 million. I mean, that's awesome. That's awesome. Just awesome. And I know that when we make it to heaven, we will probably have people come thanking us for the gifts and the heart that we've had for missions, because that's what Jesus came for. Came for his children. And I'm just so grateful to be a part of this church that has a heart for missions. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I really do. It's going to take me a minute to get my composure, because when we talk about missions, I know that that's truly his heart. And I know it's the heart of this congregation, and I just really am grateful for all of you, for what you do. And it's a sacrifice for many people. And so I'm thankful for that. But I want to talk to us a little bit this morning about our ability that God gives us to endure, to never give up. Some of you may not remember Winston Churchill's famous speech that he gave after World War II was over. Of course, England went through the bombing and all the things that happened during that war, and he stood up, and I can't quite remember whether it was a commencement speech at a graduation, but it was a big event, and he was the keynote speaker, and he stood up, and his message was, never give up. Never give up. Never give up. And then he sat down. That was it. That was the message. Well, maybe people would understand it if it was that simple. I mean, I can say a lot of words, but honestly, there it is. Never give up. And that must have some kind of value to our faith, that whole concept of never giving up. Because Jesus says in Revelation 2:26, to him who overcomes, that person who never gives up, he continually does the will of God to the end, I will give authority over the nations. So never giving up is truly important for our faith life. Thomas Edison said, our greatest weakness lies in giving up. That's our greatest weakness, is when we give up. Persistence becomes the key to success. That's why the old saying is still a good old saying, if at first you don't succeed, try. Try, try again. It's still true. We should never give up. I want us to look at a story that's found in the scriptures in 1 Samuel chapter 30. We find a story that reveals the ability that God gives to his leaders, to his people, to endure, and a persistence that he gives us to be obedient, to be faithful. And I think it's vital for all of us as spiritual leaders. David is a great example of a true leader. He had an army of 600 men. He's running from King Saul, but he found refuge among his enemies, the Philistines. And in this story, he establishes headquarters, and he settles his family in Ziklag. And he lives there for more than a year, and he establishes friendships with the king of the Philistines. And he and his men support the Philistine king when they raid the tribes to the south. He joins their armies and he raids the cities in the south of the Philistines. But then the Philistines declare war on King Saul, and the princes of the Philistines don't trust David. They think, well, David, since he is an Israelite, if we're fighting against Saul, maybe if David's in our army, then all of a sudden he will go and become a spy, and he will help the Israel army rather than the Philistine army. So the king says, you can't fight with us against King Saul. The Philistines send David back to Ziklag. And here's where we pick up the story in chapter 30. David and his men, this is in 1 Samuel, they reached Ziklag, and on the third day, now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They attacked Ziklag and they burned it to the ground, and they had taken captive the women and all who were in the city, both young and old, and they killed none of them, but they carried them off on their way. And when David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, and they were taken away. And these raiders had kidnapped all of the families of David's army. They stole all of their possessions. They burned their houses. And this happened 3 days before David and his men had returned to the city. So it had just happened. And then in verse 4, it says, David and his men wept so aloud until they had no strength left to weep. These are battle-hardened men, yet they wept till they had no strength. And then notice what the men do in verse number 6. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking about stoning him. Pretty interesting. Battle-hardened men fighting among David, and yet there's a bitter spirit that enters into these men, and all of a sudden they decide that they're going to stone David. They questioned his leadership. They probably thought, if David would have just killed Saul when we had the chance, this would never have happened. We would never have to have left. Saul wouldn't be chasing us because he would be dead. We would never have to join the Philistines. We would never have to go to Ziklag. We wouldn't have to leave Israel. This would never have happened. David is not a leader. He must be an idiot. And you could feel the bitter spirit. Let's stone David. Let's kill him. Never, ever let the root of bitterness enter your life. Because the enemy will use it to divide. He will divide the forces in your life, the goodnesses in your life. This bitterness will come in. Bitterness is so strong. If you look what's happening in Israel today among the Arabs and the Jews, that bitterness is so strong, it is still dividing these brothers. Never allow yourself to live like a victim. You are not a victim. You're victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. Never let that bitterness come in. Never dwell on the blessings of others and miss the blessings that you have received yourself. Don't let that bitterness come into your heart. The most blessed person is the one who thanks God for what they have. Thank you, Lord, for what I have. Be careful for bitterness. Things are looking bleak for David, and he decides rather than giving up, he's going to go to the Lord and get a word from the Lord. There's a great lesson for each and every one of us. And in the end of verse 6, it says, David found strength in the Lord his God. So he sought God. Rather than quitting, the scripture says he went to God to get a word from the Lord. Amen. And in verse number 7 and 8, David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. And he brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? And pursue them, he said, and he answered, and you'll certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. Now, there are many times that people come to church, and they come to church, and their whole desire is to come to praise. They come to worship and to give thanks. And how many of you know that's a good thing? We're committed. We're here. We want to give praise. We want to thank God. But sometimes people come to church and they need a word from the Lord. They come and they say, I've got to have a word from the Lord. Because of this word that David gets from the Lord, he's able to rally his men to faith. And the only way you can rally faith in your heart is when you get a word from God. So it's important when you come into this house, if you need a word from God, you focus on it. You say, somewhere, Lord, in a message, in a song, in a word, in the preaching, somewhere, Lord, give me a word. Because I need this faith to strengthen my life. Because real faith can only come when you get a word from God. That's where real faith comes from. Not something that's made up, but something that came from the spirit world and it came into your heart. And David heard the voice of God. And he took the steps that followed that word, and he was obedient, and he pursued his enemy. And in verse number 9, David and 600 men went with him, and they came to Besor Ravine, where some stayed behind, for 200 men were too exhausted to cross the ravine. But David and 400 men continued to pursue the enemy. Now remember, the army had left Ziklag. They had no provisions. The entire town was destroyed. Houses burned, everything was in ruin, so they left to pursue the enemy with no provisions. Maybe not a good strategy. They had no water, they didn't have any food, they didn't have anything. And everything had been destroyed. And then they arrive at a ravine. It's a wadi, that emptied into the sea. And they arrive at this place, and many people feel that there was a flood at this particular time. The wadi was really full, and there were people that were so exhausted emotionally and physically that they could not make the crossing. 600 men, 200, could not make the crossing because they were too exhausted. So David leaves them behind and continues to pursue the enemy, leaving 200, going with 400. Sometimes I wished I would have had the strength to leave one-third of you behind. I wish I could have left a third of you behind and pushed for the renovation of this sanctuary. There are times I wish I would have had that energy, but I wanted all of you to come with me. I didn't want to leave anybody behind. I wish I would have had the strength to push forward. But I'm hoping one day we will cross that river. I'm hoping one day we cross that river. We'll finish that job. So David kept obeying the Lord because it's so important that when you get a word from the Lord, you persevere with it. But when you persevere with it, your motive has to be for one thing, to bring glory to God. That's got to be the motive. And so David kept the word he received and he pursues his enemy till he finds an abandoned slave. In verse number 11 and 14, it says, they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him water to drink and food to eat and part of the cake of pressed figs and two cakes of raisins, and he ate and he was revived. For he hadn't eaten food or drank water for 3 days and 3 nights. And David asked him, to whom do you belong and where do you come from? And he said, I'm an Egyptian. I was a slave of the Amalekites. These are the ones that took over Ziklag. And my master has abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. You see, slaves can be abandoned. If a slave becomes a burden, they can be abandoned. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't call us slaves, but he calls us friends? And he never abandons us? Hallelujah. And so here, he says, we were raiding these Negev, and we were raiding these territories that belonged to Judah, and we burned Ziklag, and the slave's master abandoned him when he got sick, and David gives him water and food because he knows that even the enemy, you're supposed to give them when they're hungry, you feed them, and you give them water. Even then, David knows this, something Jesus said for us also. And then in verse number 15, David asked him, can you lead me down to the raiding party? And he answers, swear to me before God that you'll not kill me nor hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them. So in verse number 16, he says to the man, led David down, and there were scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, reveling, because a great amount of plunder they had taken from the Philistines and from Judah. All of this plunder, this raiding party had taken, not just from Ziklag, but from Judah and from south, from Caleb. And so David fought them from dusk until the evening, until the next day, and none of them got away except for 400 young men who rode off on a camel, and they fled. And David recovered everything that the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boys, girls, plunder, nothing that had been taken was missing. And David brought everything back, not only the things from Ziklag, but all the other plunder that they had taken. And he took all the flocks and the herds, and his men drove them ahead, the other livestock, saying, "This is David's plunder." How many remember the old song they used to sing, "I went down to the enemy's camp and took back what he stole from me"? That's an old-fashioned song. "But I went down to the enemy's camp and I took it back." Glory to God. Christians like to sing that song because it's a good, victorious song. But before you enter into the enemy's camp, be sure that you're depending upon God. Before you go anywhere near the enemy's camp, you have to know you heard from God, that you sought him and you heard, because faith comes from Jesus, and it often comes through his word or through his spirit, and it is spoken into our hearts. But unless you go down into the enemy's camp with a word from God, with faith in your heart, you could be running out of the camp in fear. So you have to go with a word, because the enemy's camp is not deserted. He's guarding it. And David's men, they had marched all day. They left 200 men behind, and they're exhausted. And now they battle all night. And there's only 400 young men that escape on camels. Remember, David only had 400 men. He was fighting a much larger army. But David persisted. And it came because of his strength from the word he got from God. God said, "Pursue, and you will have victory." So he has this word from the Lord. Even though they were tired when they got to Ziklag, they had been traveling 3 days, emotionally exhausted, they pursued the enemy, they fought hand in hand all day, all night. Never give up. Never, ever give up. See, being a Christian is not for a faint-hearted person. We have the strength of the Lord that's with us. If you look at Christ, he didn't give up, not to the very end, fought to the very end. He pursued obedience, even to the taking on of the cross. And David's persistence took him to an all-out battle when he probably would have rather had been sleeping. But he was persistent. There's going to be some revival meetings that will be coming up, because we're living in that day. We're going to have some real powerful revival meetings in the last day. You're going to want to stay home. You're going to be tired. You're going to be exhausted. You're not going to want to come to church. You're not going to want to be here. There's going to be times when you're going to want to limit your giving. You're going to want to limit even your tithing, your missions giving. You're going to want to limit it. But I'm telling you, persistence in obedience will bring spiritual success. If we will be persistent, if we will never give up, realizing that God has called us to accomplish a mission, and we'll never give up on it. You see, David proved this. His enemies were routed. And his captives' families, they were all set free. And they all came out of the enemy's camp free. And now he returns home. And on the way back, he meets the 200 that he left at the wadi. And in verse 21, David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow him. who were left behind at the Besor Ravine. They came out to meet David and the people with him. And as David and his men approached, he greeted them. But I want you to notice what it says in verse 22. But all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers. What? What? Troublemakers in the church? Come on. What? Impossible. And the troublemakers said, because they did not go out with us, they will not share with them the plunder we recover. However, each man may take his wife and his children back. But David replied, no, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us, and he handed all of the enemy over against us and who were against us, and he's handed them all to us. And who's going to listen to that kind of a strategy? Who's going to listen to the troublemakers? Is the church going to listen to the troublemakers? No. We're not going to listen to that. We're not going to agree with that strategy. You see, the share of the man who stayed with the supplies is to be the same as that who have gone down to the battle. All will share alike. This is the whole principle of missions. This is what missions is all about. We don't all go. Some provide. Some give. Some pray. Some go. But all share. All share together. We'll all share alike. And David made this a statute and an ordinance for Israel from that day to this day. David's response reveals that he gives all the glory of his victory to the Lord. The Lord gets all the victory. The Lord is the one who gave us victory. The Lord is the one who's helped this church become a missions church. The Lord is the one who gets all the glory. There's no greater motive for a Christian that whatever we do it for the glory of God. That's our greatest motive. Not so that we get spoils, not so that we get things, but that the Lord gets all the glory. And in verse 26, when David arrived at Ziklag, he sent some of the plunder to the elders of Judah who were his friends, saying, here is a present for you from the plunder of the Lord's enemies. From all the plunder, David sends gifts to the elders of Judah. Much of the spoils had belonged to David anyway. If you remember, one of his wives was Abigail, who was a widower who was very, very wealthy. So much of the things that he recovered were his anyway. And yet he gives them away. And while he's going on, the Philistines are fighting with the army of Saul. And we know that Saul is killed in the battle. And the elders of Judah now, they don't have a king. But because David sent all these gifts to the elders of Judah, how many of you know your gift will make a way for you? And all of a sudden now these elders and all these different areas are getting gifts from David. All of a sudden they decide, let's make David our king. Amazing. That's what it says in Proverbs 18 and verse 16. A gift opens the way for the giver and ushers him into the presence of the great. You don't know what your missions giving gift is actually doing for you. It's amazing what happens when we have this generous spirit. We know that David was anointed king long before he became the king, but how would people accept him as king? How would they actually do it? He was anointed king, but how are they going to accept him as king? You see, what happens is if you have a problem, God often solves your problem with another problem. Oh, that's fun, Pastor. I like that. That's a real powerful truth that I really like that one. He solves your problem by another problem. He does it by turning a problem into a blessing. David had a huge problem. His family was kidnapped. burned the houses down, everything, stolen property. It turns out to be his biggest miracle. This biggest problem he has becomes his biggest miracle because of the plunder he receives when he pursues it, and he never gives up. And all of a sudden, all of these blessings, they become the door to his kingship as he shares what God has given to him. The problem becomes the door to the greatest blessing. When God gives you a word, sometimes it may seem impossible. And sometimes the first step, you can do it very quickly. But persevering to the end is the true test of obedience. That's the true test of obedience. You can quit. If you want to quit, you can quit. If you decide to stop obeying the word that God gives you because you think the situation is impossible, you think God will accept that? No, he's not a quitter. He doesn't want you to quit. He wants you to persevere. He already knows it's hard for you to do that in your own strength. He already recognizes it's impossible many times for you to do it. But he is willing to give you the strength that you need when the task becomes impossible for you to finish. He will give you the strength, and the glory will go to the one who deserves it. The glory will go to him. You see, with God's help, I think this congregation is going to enter into a world where all things are possible. With God's strength, I think this congregation is going to enter into a world where the miraculous is normal. His plan in the end of times is that believing Christians who live and do the work of the Lord are going to finish the job. They're going to complete it. Because the world that God is looking for the Christian is a world where people are totally committed to the task, to accomplish, to do what he's asked us to do. You will never be closer to God than when all of a sudden the circumstances you find yourself in are overwhelming. When you are overwhelmed, you will never, ever be any closer to God at that moment, in that moment where you're completely overwhelmed. We're supposed to be overwhelmed, but not to stay that way. We are supposed to be in a place where we come to a spot where we are going to have to live by faith, where we're going to have to say we are not going to quit, and I'm not going to go backwards, but I'm going to depend upon the strength of God. That's what God is bringing us to. God has a plan for our life, and he tells us in Revelations 2 and 27, to him who overcomes. To him who allows that word that I have spoken to you, that will that I have given to you, that understanding of the commitment, that understanding of the task, and understanding of who you are, you overcome, and I'm going to give you the nations, the authority over the nations. Never quit. Never give up. Now, this is to encourage those of you that are here. You have been feeling this way. You have been feeling like it's not worth the fight. Everything that I'm going through has been so difficult. It's getting harder and harder. And it doesn't seem like there's an end in sight. But you're a Christian. And you know that God overcame. And you know that he gives you the strength to overcome. But nevertheless, there's been those moments when you say, it's not worth it, I'm just going to quit. If you'll be honest with God, today the Lord is strengthening you so that you will not quit, so that you will overcome. So if you're here today, you say, Lord, I heard this word, I am not giving up. I want you to just stand to your feet. I'm not giving up. I am following you. I'm committed to the end, and I will not give up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Strengthen us, O Lord. Strengthen us, O Lord. In this battle of life, strengthen us, O Lord. For we are people of faith. We see around us people being negative and giving up, but not us. We recognize that you have overcome. And we stand in the strength of our Savior, Jesus. And we say, Lord, we will not give up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you now, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pastor Tim's going to lead us in a chorus, but here's what I want us to do. I don't know where you are, but I know that the Lord spoke to me just before the service. There's people here today. You're having challenges in two areas that the Lord mentioned to me, and you're really struggling with it. One of them is your sinuses, your allergies. You're having problems, especially with pain in your sinus areas, and you're having difficulty with that. And it seems like something that's constantly giving you that kind of trouble, and you've almost given up on it, and you just feel like you're just never going to get through this. And the other one is somebody's having problems with your feet, and it could be from your diabetes, it could be from whatever, but it's a problem, and you're getting a numbness and the problems with your feet, and you're just living with it, and you're ready to just say, I'm just going to have to live with this, I'm going to give up. And God's saying, for those two areas, I want you to exercise your faith. I want you to take a step towards Jesus, because I believe the Lord wants to heal those areas in your life so that the Spirit of God can touch and minister and bring relief from the tip of your toes to the top of your head, to completely heal, to completely deliver in the precious name of Jesus. So as Pastor Tim sings, if that's your problem, you come forward. I'm going to quickly anoint you and trust that this word, never give up, is going to ring in your heart and bring healing in your life.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God.
We hope you were inspired by this message from God's Word. If you were, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? That will help us better be able to reach more people with this important message. For more information about Bethany Assembly of God or how to have a relationship with God, visit www.bethany-ag.org.
There's peace, peace like a river. There's joy, joy like a fountain. There's love, love like an ocean. Take, 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 take me over. Flowing down, you are the water to my soul. Come flood the fallow ground. Come now and make it beautiful, so I would know. There's peace, peace like a river. There's joy, joy like a fountain. There's love, love like an ocean. Take, 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 take me over. There's peace, peace like a river. There's joy, joy like a fountain. There's love, love like an ocean. Take, 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 take me over.